Good morning and welcome to Southern Champaign County Today's edition for Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is in fact Thursday, February 5th, 2026. Top of the front page, we have a lovely story about the children of Countryside United Methodist Church donating the Blessing Basket collection to a local family. Every Sunday at Countryside United Methodist Church, after the children's moment, the youth collect pocket change from the congregation, and once a year they choose a charity or a family to donate their collections to. In fall 2024, during Sunday school class for 7 Sundays, the youth were introduced to 7 local charitable organizations. After a review of all the charities, the kids voted for their favorite one. Based on the votes counted, the Blessing Basket money collected that year was donated to Cunningham Children's Home, Crisis Nursery, and Restoration Urban Ministries. For the 2025 collection, the children chose the Cunningham family from Philo to receive a portion of the Blessing Basket money. The family has been dealing with health and travel-related expenses for their young daughter, Myla Cunningham. This donation will help the family pay for expenses while driving back and forth to Chicago for Myla's medical appointments. The Cunningham family came to Countryside Church to accept the donation, meet Pastor Jeff Stahl, and some of the youth that collected the money throughout the year. Some of the kids who participated in the effort include Olivia Clare, Casely Kern, Karma Kern. Our thanks to all these kids for an outstanding project. We also have news from the Unity Music Boosters, who met at Unity High in the choir room on Tuesday, January 27th, to discuss fundraising efforts. Band director Matt Cowsert updated the group on his pep band concerts and the new idea for a showcase planned for Thursday, March 12th, which will include a pops concert instead of the traditional jazz and Java. Legacy members came back to provide input during the meeting as All Out A Cappella celebrated 20 years on Friday. Looking forward to the event on March 6th with event creators Carrie and Bonnie Willards. Once again, this is going to be a pops concert on Thursday, March 12th. We'll start our community news today with the Sydney Scoop. The Sydney Improvement Group is working on their March 28th Easter egg hunt. The following was posted to the Sydney Scoop Facebook pages, and it starts with Save the Date. This year's Easter egg hunt will be March 28th at Witt Park. The Sydney Improvement Group also posted to their Facebook pages a notice to get ready for Sydney Fun Days, especially the car show. After the show, join us in the parade. Vendors, live music, petting zoo, and more details are to come. The Sydney Fun Days Classic Wheels Showdown, at which all vehicles are welcome, will take place during the Friday, July 24th, Saturday, July 25th, Sydney Fun Days. On Saturday, that's the 25th of July, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's a $15 registration fee for each vehicle. Registration takes place from 9 to noon, and voting will take place from 12:30 to 1:30. Awards will then be given out at 2 p.m., and all the proceeds will go to support the Sydney Improvement Group activities. Next up is our weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. What comes to mind when you think about February, they ask? Groundhog's Day, Super Bowl Sunday, Valentine's Day, Black History Month, or President's Day would be the answers for many people. But I'll bet you didn't know that February is National Library Lovers Month. Here are some suggestions on how to celebrate. If you aren't a regular user of the library, make it your goal to stop in once a week and browse the collection. If you're a regular, bring a friend who isn't familiar with the library and introduce them around. Another way is to try some of the different items available at the library. If you usually only borrow through Hoopla or Libby, come in and check out a real physical book. We had a recent donation of puzzles, so you might want to check one of them out when you pick up your next book. I bet you can come up with some other suggestions, and I look forward to seeing what they are. I also want to remind everyone that we offer home delivery to library cardholders who are physically unable to visit the library. With this service, library volunteers will select items for you based on your interests and deliver them to your home. If you're a Philo library cardholder and because of a temporary or long-term illness or injury, disability, or limited mobility, or a senior citizen without transportation, you are eligible for our service. Getting started is easy. Just give us a call at the Philo Public Library at 217-684-2896. And remember to enjoy National Library Lovers Month. Next, we'll move on to the weekly newsletter from the Tolono Library. And they begin, recently, the Tolono Library has established not one or two, but three Dungeons & Dragons campaigns. We started our teen campaign for kids aged 12 to 18 back in October. But we now have a group for youth ages 6 to 12 and another group for adults, anyone who is anyone over 18. All three groups have their next meetings coming up. The youth and adult groups will meet on Thursday, February 5th at 4 o'clock for youths and 5:30 to 7:30 for the adults. The teen group meets next on Monday, February 9th from 5:30 to 7:30. Fall into the world of role-playing games and join the next campaign. The Friends of the Tolono Library is officially now a 501c3 organization. With this new status, the group can now start collecting membership dues and taking tax-deductible donations. So now it's time to let the fundraising begin for the Friends of the Tolono Library. We know that our patrons have noticed the increase in our programs, events, and incentives at the library over the last few months, and we'd like to continue to offer all of these resources at the same pace. Unfortunately, not all of it is sustainable. That is where the Friends of the Library come in. Their purpose is to raise money on behalf of the library that can be used outside of the library's normal operating budget. The Friends' quarterly meeting will be held on Thursday, February 5th, from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. If you're interested in supporting the library, stop by for the meeting and see what they're all about and learn about their upcoming projects. The 2026 Winter Olympics kickoff is on Friday, February 6th, and we're celebrating by testing our Olympic knowledge with Olympic Jeopardy from 3:30 to 5 in the afternoon. Everyone is welcome to come and see if they can win the gold in Winter Olympic knowledge and trivia. If you're in a crafting mood, on Saturday, February 7th, we'll have supplies out all day for anyone to come in and create their own homemade Valentines. And on Tuesday, February 10th, kids can come celebrate the Lunar New Year by creating their own paper lanterns from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. And as always, the Teen Fab Lab will take place on Wednesday, February 11th from 3:30 to 5. Remember to check out our website, which is simply tolonolibrary.org. Tolono Library is all one word, tolonolibrary.org. You'll find there more details and a comprehensive list of all of our upcoming programs and activities. You can also register for programs on our website, or you can simply call the library, which is always appreciated but not required. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all the news at the Tolono Library. And moving over to Homer, the Homer Library just announced their Peace Out Puzzle Champions. The Homer Library held their annual Great Puzzle Race on January 31st. This is a jigsaw puzzle-solving competition. Five teams participated. Their teams were named Persnickety Puzzlers, Peace Out, and the word peace is spelled P-I-E-C-E. Next team, Getting Jiggy With It, Jigsaw Junkies, and the South Church Peacemakers. The winning team was the Peace Out Group with a time of 1 hour and 9 minutes for their puzzle, which featured a winter birdhouse scene. Congratulations to the Peace Out team. Next, we have our weekly report from The Giving Place, which is open on Wednesdays. And this past Wednesday, The Giving Place served three families, which included 16 people and 8 children. The food donated totaled about $300. Yearly totals for 2025, The Giving Place served 422 families, 1,421 people, and 643 children. The total food donated to families was $28,550. Approximately 40 people volunteered for The Giving Place in 2025. They worked over 1,100 hours, which roughly totaled $38,000 worth of volunteer labor. This week's thank you to our volunteers goes out to Linda, Sydney, Sharon J., Ernie, Dale, and Mike. Please feel free to visit on any Wednesday and see all the blessings that are happening, and maybe you'll want to become part of it. And now we have our weekly report on the night sky from David Leakey, retired director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College. This column covers the dates February 4th to February 10th. The window for the launch of the Artemis II spacecraft opens up this Friday and runs through February 15th. It will open again in March if needed. Artemis 1 tested the space launch system and the Orion crew capsule in the fall of 2022. This time, four astronauts will complete a 10-day mission that will break the altitude records set by Apollo. After entering an eccentric Earth orbit, the craft will circle the Moon at nearly 250,000 miles from Earth and 4,600 miles from the actual lunar surface. This will be the first crewed mission to the Moon since Apollo 17 in 1972, 50 years ago. Though this crew won't land on the Moon, the long-term goal is to learn how to live on another world in preparation for a trip to Mars. Dr. Leakey says that he used to tell the kids in the Starkle Planetarium that when we do land on Mars, he'll be too old to go. But you know who will be about the right age? I love to see their excitement. Let's head back to the Moon and possibly for good this time, according to Dr. David Leakey. Next up, we have news from Rocket Nation with our correspondent, Diane Ducey. Fundraising efforts like the Elks Lodge number 2497, which is located on Dunlap Street in Savoy behind Old Orchard, is hosting a bingo night this Saturday, February 7th from 5 to 9 p.m. to benefit Catholic Charities of Champaign and Piatt Counties. This fundraiser allows the nonprofit group to help individuals and families in need in Champaign and Piatt Counties. Caller Mark Montgomery, the exalted ruler of the Elks Club, will begin the 10 games at 6 p.m. The donation is $30 to play and $3 for a dauber, or you can bring your own. There will be a few auction baskets, desserts available for donations, and fun games such as heads and tails, plus raffles to increase the fundraising dollars at the end of the night. Participants can enjoy a cash bar, and the Jurassic Eats food truck will be on hand from 5 to 6:30 p.m. One of the main efforts of this fundraiser is to help the food pantries at St. Patrick's in Tolono, located at 304 East Vine Street, which is open from 5 to 6:30 p.m. on Mondays and 9 to 10:30 a.m. on Fridays. Those needing items visited 10 times in the month of January to begin 2026. With some of the regular volunteers out on vacation or with medical issues, the dozen people who helped racked up 186 hours of service. 45 families visited the pantry, including 4 new families, amounting to 21 people coming in more than once, for a total of 107 people served, plus a couple of deliveries to assist folks who are not able to get out of their homes during the winter weather. Donations came in from St. Patrick and St. Thomas churches, some individuals, plus the Aldi store in Savoy, which contributed, as well as the Philo, Tolono, and Villa Grove Dollar General stores. Eastern Illinois Food Bank continues with their partnership, and to celebrate the 100th day of school, the Billman Daycare families donated over 150 items, which together weighed 140 pounds. Donations of clothing and toys left over from December were redirected to those visiting the pantry and then given to the Giving Place, which is open Wednesdays in downtown Tolono from 4 to 6 p.m., as well as to the Knights of Columbus at St. Thomas School, which is now planning their Lenten fish fries on Fridays and the trivia night coming up on March 7th. Even expiring milk or produce is handed off to area farmers to use in the garden or bread for the chickens, and then eggs are donated back to St. Patrick's food pantry. Even grocery bags are recycled to bag groceries, and large garbage bags are used to break down some of the packaging. Nothing goes to waste. The senior luncheon is scheduled for the second Wednesday of the month in the St. Patrick's Tolono Parish Hall. At the last one, 25 guests were on hand, although some were scared off by the snow squall on January 14th. The entree was soup and sandwiches, and 6 people celebrated their birthdays, as well as 10 door prizes that were awarded. Entertainment was the bingo, with caller Larry Kearns, and white elephant prizes were picked out by the winners. Participants over 55 years old share a side for the potluck buffet. Those who are able can donate $3 instead, while the entree and drinks, plates, and flatware were all provided. With a Valentine's theme, the upcoming lunch is scheduled for Wednesday, February 11th, and it will feature a chicken entree. Please bring friends and a dish to share, as Owen Kinnear, a pianist, will be the featured entertainment. Once again, that's lunch on Wednesday, February 11th. Do come. We have 2 items this week from Parkland College. First is a new exhibit in the Gertz Gallery called Fragments and Layers. It features works by Aaron Furimsky and Tally Weinberg, and the show opens on Monday, February 16th. Furimsky and Weinberg both explore the interconnection of systems and structures. A studio artist in Bloomington, Furimsky's ceramic sculptures explore the relationship of sculptural form with highly ornamented surfaces, delving into the relatable and astonishing nature of the mundane in the human body. Furimsky received a BFA from Penn State University and an MFA from Ohio State. Her work has been shown nationally and internationally at galleries and museums, including the Eutectic Gallery, the Canton Art Museum, and the Yingyi Ceramics Museum in Taiwan. Champaign-Urbana-based Weinberg creates interdisciplinary works primarily through weaving and installations, addressing interconnected systems, environmental motifs, and the impact of extraction on people and the earth. Her patterns are influenced by natural forms and microscopic life, and seek to establish order through layered lines and solid colors. Weinberg received an MA and BA from New York University and her MFA from the California College of Arts. Her work is exhibited nationally and internationally and held in the collections of the Berkeley Art Museum, the Denver Botanic Gardens, and the Georgia Museum of Art. Verimsky will give a lecture on February 20th at 10 a.m. in Lecture Hall C118 at Parkland, directly followed by a ceramics demonstration, Trying to Multiply on Surface Design in Studio 193. Weinberg will be giving a lecture on Wednesday, March 11th at 1:15 p.m. in C118 at Parkland. Both events are free and open to the public. A public reception for the artists will be held on Thursday, February 19th from 5:37 p.m. with a brief gallery talk by Verimsky and Weinberg at 6:15 p.m. That's on February 19th. The exhibition runs until Tuesday, March 31st. Next up in Parkland News, they have scheduled a Health Professions Information Night this month, on Monday, February 16th, from 4 to 6 p.m., guests will be able to learn about the nursing and allied health profession programs offered through Parkland College's Health and Professionals Department. They'll also have the opportunity to meet with faculty and current students, discover health profession programs and career pathways you may not really be aware of. You can also explore hands-on activities and various healthcare demonstrations, come and learn more about admissions, prerequisites, and more. The open house will take place in room U140 near the Student Union. Registration for this event is not required, and the event is free and open for the public. For more information, you can contact Michelle Roberts at mroberts, all one word, mroberts@parkland.edu. Today's paper includes a lengthy interviews with the four Democrats who are seeking to replace Susana Mendoza as the Illinois State Comptroller. Who wants to manage Illinois' checkbook as the state faces growing financial uncertainty? Three state legislators and the treasurer of one of the state's largest counties have raised their hands. Incumbent Comptroller Susana Mendoza, who first took office in 2016 in the middle of the state's infamous two-year budget stalemate, is not seeking re-election. Her departure created the first open primary for the Democratic Party for a statewide constitutional office since 2018. The comptroller's primary responsibility is ensuring that the state's bills are paid, a task that wasn't always easy, but one that Mendoza has fine-tuned in recent years. With Mendoza stepping aside, State Senator Karina Villa of West Chicago, State Representative Margaret Croak of Chicago, State Representative Stephanie Kifowit of Oswego, and Lake County Treasurer Holly Kim are running in the Democratic primary. Each sat down with Capital News Illinois reporters in recent days to answer questions. Brian Drew, a Republican from Southern Illinois, is running unopposed for his party's nomination. We'll take a quick run through each of the four Democratic candidates who are covered in this article. Stephanie Kifowit is the longest tenured legislator of the group, having joined the General Assembly in 2013. She is leaning on her Marine Corps service and past career as a financial advisor to argue that she is the most qualified candidate. In this race, the individuals need an independent, knowledgeable, experienced person for this position, one that has the backbone that I do from being a United States Marine Corps veteran, and one that has life experience along with professional experience, Kifowitz said. She's facing an uphill battle in fundraising, however, as her campaign raised the least money of the four candidates in the final quarter of 2025. Croak is leading the financial race thus far as the only candidate to raise at least $5,000 during that fundraising period. Margaret Croak has been in the legislature since 2021 and was previously a deputy director at the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. She's a close ally of Governor J.B. Pritzker and has received endorsements from several top Democrats, including the influential Cook County Democratic Party. However, Governor Pritzker has not been one of her endorsers yet. We all have seen bills pass, and we've seen bills blow up, and it's because of our relationships or if you understand how to get these things done, Croak told Capital News Illinois. So I feel really confident about my ability to steer the ship in the right direction. Margaret Croak barely won the endorsement of the Cook County Party over Villa, who is backed by Senate President Don Harmon and U.S. Representative Delia Ramirez as she tries to carve a lane as the most progressive anti-Trump candidate in the race. Villa has been in the legislature since 2019, but does not have a financial background. Her career, rather, was in social work. Kim has no legislative experience in Springfield, but has spent 4 years in the Mundelein Village on the Mundelein Village Board and has served as treasurer in Lake County. This is Illinois' third largest county with more than 700,000 residents, and she has served in this capacity since 2018. She boasts support from dozens of officials in local government and Democratic county chairs across the state. I'm in charge of billions of dollars, Kim told Capital News Illinois. All the checks go out with my name on it, which means one out of four people running. I'm already doing the comptroller's job. I'm definitely going to be a fierce protector of people and their money. The comptroller does not directly deal with the legislative process of approving a budget, but the candidates had plenty of ideas on how the state should manage its finances. Mendoza herself has been an outspoken supporter of boosting the Rainy Day Fund and has continued to advocate for ways to increase its size. The fund's current $2.4 billion balance only funds about 2 weeks of state operations, and lawmakers suspended the monthly transfer to the fund this year to free up money for other priorities in a tight budget year. To continue to put money away for a rainy day when we're in the middle of a tsunami, that's not when we should be putting money away for a rainy day, said Villa, adding that there's no way to prioritize that in this budget. Raising revenue is the central focus of Villa's campaign. She suggested the state implement a tax on digital advertising and retry implementing a graduated income tax to raise more money for social services that she said are inadequately covered. Such a measure needs approval from both lawmakers and the general public, but voters rejected that soundly within the constitutional amendment that was proposed back in 2020. Emily Kim took a similar approach and said that the state's budget goals during Donald Trump's presidency should be focused on maintaining the state's credit rating, which was upgraded 10 times between the three major rating agencies under Mendoza. I would advocate not only for the progressive tax to be brought up as a longer-term solution, especially with years of rocky finances headed our way, with Trump still in government for the next possibly 3 years, said Kim. Croak and Kifowitz said that they support reinstating regular funding for the Rainy Day Fund. This concludes our reading of the February 4th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.